Oh, wow, that's hard to follow. Give them a round of applause again. They do so much for these kids. It's so exciting. And in the theme of a ton of announcements this morning, I do have one more really quick before I get into my talk this morning, is that Junior, where are you? Wave your hands, Junior. Yay! Junior has organized a softball team for the church, so we will have a Woo softball team. This summer, it is, the only downside is it's only for men. It's a men's softball league. I know, Boo is right, because, so if any of you guys are interested in playing, I think it's just like one day a week, and it'll be a lot of fun to get together with the guys and get out there and play, and maybe some of us ladies will come cheer you on once in a while. We'll see. But, or make our own team play off to the side. Oh, cool. Well, wow, so much this morning. So yesterday morning, I went into a local coffee shop, and I know the guy who makes my coffee in the morning, so which is really fun to be part of a neighborhood like that and stuff, and he asked me how my weekend was, and I was like, it's really good, it's exciting, I get to talk at church this weekend, and, you know, it's fun and stuff, and he's like, well, what are you talking about? And I'm like, well, we're in the middle of this series about not letting our circumstances dictate how we feel and who we are, and that our life is actually better than we might think it is. And he's like, you're talking about real stuff. And I was like, I don't get what that means, but okay, cool, yeah, sure. And so he started to share his thoughts, and they were really interesting, but it was like really busy at the coffee shop, and he didn't really get to fully share what he was saying. And he said something about empathy or something, and like too much empathy maybe can be a bad thing, and I'm like, empathy seems good, it's kind, it's loving, it's friendly. I don't know, but anyway. But what I did think, this thought came to my mind, and I don't think it would have came to my mind if I didn't have this chance to kind of think about like empathy and how it was, is that I found what gets in my way sometimes is too much sympathy and advice. It's places I get stuck. I think sympathy as well as advice can be totally helpful, and I think both can be totally hurtful. But I know that I long for these things, and sometimes I seek them out. It used to happen in one part of my life a lot. You see, in my life, there's something that I've been looking for that hasn't happened yet. It's this relationship I really desire, one of those lifelong, here's a ring, I do sort of things. But it hasn't happened. In fact, everything that I seem to walk towards that's promising in this area seems to just kind of fall apart really quickly. So maybe there are other single folks out here who can relate, or maybe you have a desire in your heart that you really want. Maybe it's a new job, maybe it's a house, maybe it's a new career, maybe it's a year of sobriety, maybe it's having a child, but just something that you want that maybe you're not able to make happen right away. There's this idea in church sometimes, maybe you've heard it, is that we can just give these things to God and he'll take care of them and we can live happily ever after. But that can be really difficult sometimes. And I was finding that letting God change my perspective and just be thankful for my relationship status was kind of difficult. And I was fighting it from all these different angles. First, I would look for sympathy, right? From single folks, I would look for sympathy. From married folks, from sympathy. From someone walking down the street, I would look for sympathy. Anybody, you know, just be on my side. But that led to self-pity, right? And that was just a downward spiral and wasn't helpful at all. So then I wanted to fix it. So I'd look for advice. How did you do it? Where's the do-it-yourself section for, like, singledom? And that seemed to be a downward spiral as well. It wasn't working. So then I got back to this idea of a perspective change, but I'm still fighting it. I'm afraid. I'm afraid that if I let God change my perspective, then my circumstances won't change, and I'm not up for that. It's risky. And so I think about this story in the Bible. Jesus is out on a boat with his disciples, and a storm comes, and he's sleeping, and the disciples totally freak out. Let's read it together. It should come up on this side. There you go. Then Jesus got into the boat and started across the lake with his disciples. Suddenly, a fierce storm struck the lake and waves breaking into the boat. But Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him up, shouting, "Lord, save us! We're going to drown!" Jesus responded, "What are you afraid of? You have so little faith." Then he got up and rebuked the wind and the waves, and suddenly there was a great calm. The disciples were amazed. "Who is this man?" they asked. Even the winds and waves obey him. I wonder if sometimes I freak out too soon, like the disciples did here. Jesus is in the boat with them, and they freak out. So I guess I can't feel too bad. They get scared, and I do freak out. I feel like the curtain is about to close or the end is coming, and I have to fight for something. Fight to stay safe, fight for the desires in my heart, but that doesn't seem to be the fight I need to focus on. In fact, it seems that I'm fighting all the wrong battles. The fight that seems most helpful in these situations seems to be the fight to keep God in the center and let him stay like in control of this. Okay, so freaking out about my relationship status is probably not going to help, but I'm not quite ready to give in. I can be a fighter sometimes. So I try to figure it out, solve the mystery. And am I doing something wrong? And this line of thinking gets me sometimes too, right? There are all these different roads we can go down to try to solve our problems and figure it out. So I remember watching many of my friends get married, some of them much younger, and wondering, what's wrong with me? Did I mess this up? Is it my fault? And that's a dangerous road to go down because it leads to the, there's something wrong with me that everyone else can see because I don't have this thing that I want right now. I found some hope along these lines in this book of the Bible that's pretty sarcastic. It's called Ecclesiastes. And in this book, this rich ruler who has everything claims that everything is meaningless. But I found a whole lot of meaning in one verse. Good people receive the same treatment as sinners, and people who make promises to God are treated like people who don't. So good things happen to people who aren't doing things all that well, and bad things happen to people who are really trying to live like this great life. I don't know about you, but this is like pretty comforting and freeing for me. And maybe it helps open me up to letting my perspective be changed because it's not my burden to figure out and fix now. It's not actually all my fault. Now, some things in my life are my fault. We do have like repercussions to things we do and circumstances and consequences to deal with. But maybe God is up to something in this. He's in control, and I think he's bigger than me. In the New Testament, Paul, this guy who has a lot to say about everything, talks about it this way. We can rejoice, too, when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us, because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. Okay, here's something that seems helpful. Maybe there's a reason that I'm single. Maybe God is doing something else in my life right now. I didn't take time to consider that before. Paul seems to say here that problems and trials are good because it gets us more God. And he seems to say that God loves us dearly, and that's helpful too. But waiting for God to fill the desires of my heart is quite difficult. For me, waiting on him and his plan, though, seems to be better than this do-it-yourself model that I was going after, right? I was hurting myself over and over again, seeking sympathy and advice and just like this downward spiral, so I wasn't even able to like live my life. It took time and a lot of prayer, but I was finally able to take that risk and say, okay, God, I think you have my best interest in mind. I'll let you take control. And it has been helpful. Like I said, I'm not hurting myself over and over again. And I do have my moments. Like, it's not like, oh, I'm just, like, free all the time. But, you know, I find that, like, just some prayer and not giving in to, like, seeking out so much advice and sympathy, like, tends to be really helpful. But what happens when you can't find the perspective to change in a situation? When there's no storm to calm, when you can't find the risk to take, or when your circumstances are just kind of status quo, not necessarily painfully bad? I've been here before, too. I used to work in TV news. It's kind of a difficult business to work in. I loved it, though. It was exciting every day. It was different. I was on the go all the time, meeting people, talking with people. That's something I really enjoy. But I was frustrated with things that would happen at the station or certain feedback that I was getting. It's a tough business and very subjective, and everyone has an opinion about everything, mainly you. And so I remember one day I was meeting with our stylist, and she was like looking at my tapes to check my hair, my makeup, and my clothes, and all that fun stuff. And she said to me, she turned to me and she looked and she said, "Why can't you be more coiffed?" I was like, "What?" I don't even know what that means. I Googled it. It means, like, you know, your hair is perfect and your makeup's perfect and your outfit's perfect. And that's not where I live. So I was, like, hurt, right, and confused and wondering, how can I be more coiffed? Like, where do I go to coiff school? And can I make my career move forward if I can't figure out how to do this? So I was confused. Aren't I good at other aspects of my job? Is what I look like all that matters? What do I do with this? I have to figure out how important this is to my life and which way to go. I knew my style wasn't quite up to par, if you will. Like I said, spending all that time doing my hair and my makeup, like, it just wasn't fun. And so I wondered, was this my ticket out? Should I just run away? This is what the business is. Like, I totally get that. But can I do it? So I mulled over it, I thought about it, I talked with friends, everybody willing to listen, I tend to do that. I talked to mentors, and I couldn't figure it out. So I kept asking God to change my perspective. God, show me what you're up to. But I wasn't getting much. Silence, mostly. So I kept seeking. Ask, seek, knock. The Bible seems to offer this as a helpful tool when we're going through something or trying to figure something out or looking for direction. It's in this book of Matthew. It says, "For everyone who asks receives, everyone who seeks finds, and to everyone who knocks, the door will be opened." So I kept seeking. First, I think, maybe it's my fault. We've gone through this line of thinking. Maybe I had to learn this art, learn to love it. Maybe there was something wrong with me. If I fix this, maybe people will take me more seriously. Or maybe I'm just not cut out for this job. Then I looked for sympathy. Oh, my job is so hard. I don't know what to do. I want someone to tell me how great I am and that they're all wrong. And of course, I can do anything I set my mind to. But that wasn't helpful. I just wanted to be rescued, and there was no one who could rescue me from this. And so that led to probably, like, some frustration with the people around me and even more into that self-pity place, which is never fun. And so I looked for advice and solutions. Okay, so maybe I can ask people to help me. Well, help me figure out, you know, how to do my hair better and how to do my makeup better. And then I kind of felt judged in this. Like, don't you know how to do that? How come you don't know this? How come you don't know how important this is to your job? And I was like, oh, okay, that doesn't feel so good either. I know people had, like, good intentions and they wanted to share, you know, advice with me and really help me. But I just felt, like, really judged and belittled. I think God has this idea of not judging at all, which seems impossible, right? Sometimes I just want to ask people what they're doing or why they're doing it that way when I think maybe I have a better way of doing it. But when you know, like, how it feels, then even good intentions can be hurtful. I think God really talks about this a whole lot, really simply saying it even, do not judge others, and then you will be judged. And I didn't like how that felt. It hurts. And this idea that different things maybe work for different people. So maybe your advice is great. Maybe it's great for you, and maybe it's even great for someone else you know. But maybe it's not great for me. Let's check in with Paul again in Romans and hear what he has to say about this. This was really helpful for me. Accept other believers who are weak in faith, and don't argue with them about what they think is right or wrong. For instance, one person believes it's all right to eat anything, but another believer with a sensitive conscience will only eat vegetables. Those who feel free to eat anything must not look down on those who don't. And those who don't eat certain foods must not condemn those who do. For God has accepted them. Who are you to condemn someone else's servants? Their own master will judge whether they stand or fall. And with the Lord's help, they will stand and receive his approval. Okay, so this verse has a whole lot going on it about, like, religious ways people were living and cultural ways and all this judging and all these different things going on in this verse. But when I read it recently, I felt like God had something for me in it. And I felt like what God was saying to me in this is what Paul is trying to get across is that sometimes we think we know better than other people. It's like Paul's saying that sometimes people might think that they know the best way for people to live their lives, but Paul thinks that maybe God has some thoughts on this. Actually, what I feel like God is offering here is that there are a lot of different ways for people to do things. And so when I try to tell other people what to do, or when people try me to tell me what to do or how to live, it doesn't always work. What happened for me is I finally found the space and a person to talk to openly about what was going on. And honestly, there was no sympathy, only encouragement about what I was doing that was really good. And there was no advice, just on ideas on what God might be doing in me and around me through this situation. I think that's what God offers a lot of times, right? He offers this relationship with people and with him, and that's where I tend to find, like, really good things. I had the freedom, finally, to see what God was doing in me and with me at work, and also the places that I could learn and grow. But ultimately, and maybe obviously, quaffing was not for me, and God moved me on from that job, which I'm so thankful for, and I'm so thankful for what I learned, right? When I was reporting, I was telling stories, like I'm doing now, and I was speaking in a microphone, like I'm doing now, and I was connecting with people, and I was building relationships, and I was communicating, and these are all, like, awesome tools that I use in my life right now, so I'm really thankful that I was there. And I'm really thankful that God moved me on, just at the right time. But I felt like he moved me on. I didn't have to figure it out or, like, dig in and, like, orchestrate this, like, amazing plan. Actually, God just lifted me right out of it in a better way than I could ever even imagine. I got laid off, and so I got paid to leave. It was really cool. That I couldn't have figured out myself. So was I putting too much focus on me and what I thought my job should look like, not enough on what God was doing in me and around me? Was I not giving in because I was too busy trying to make things happen my way or look like the way I wanted to? There's this psalm in the Bible. There are a lot of psalms, and there are a lot of things about God being in control. But for some reason, in this instance, this psalm really connected with me and just how powerful it is. It's like almost the opposite of extreme, the extreme. I feel like God's doing, like, these little things in me and, like, planning out my life. And then when I read a psalm like this, it's just amazing to see, like, oh, I think God is saying he's in control of everything. Let's read this together, Psalm 93. The Lord is king. He is robed in majesty. Indeed, the Lord is robed in majesty and armed with strength. The world stands firm. You cannot be shaken. Your throne, O Lord, has stood from time immemorial. You yourself are from the everlasting past. The floods have risen up, O Lord. The floods have roared like thunder. The floods have lifted their pounding waves. Be mightier than the violent raging of the seas, mightier than the breakers on the shore. The Lord above is mightier than these. Your royal laws cannot be changed. Your reign, O Lord, is holy forever and ever. Okay, so that's, like, pretty big. So if he can do all of that, then he might be able to help with my job situation and maybe my single situation. I think in the Bible there's also this idea that God wants to be my priority. And in my life, like in these past two stories, when I kind of let God into that space, it seems to be really helpful, and I can live free from, like, all this anxiety and fear. In Mark, Jesus tells us what the commandment that he is offering now after he came. It says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There's no commandment greater than these. Huh. That makes some sense. So when I take a step back and focus on God and invite people in to help me work through these things, like the person who helped me take a step back and see the bigger picture, it seems to work. It seems to get me out of this space that's stealing my joy and letting my circumstances and perspectives get the best of me. God is so much better than my circumstances changing, but I get caught up in them so quickly, and sometimes so often. I also think that God is in the business of changing my circumstances. He didn't just leave me high and dry at the TV station once I figured out that I wasn't going to be quaffed. He rescued me in the coolest way possible. And maybe he'll do that with that whole single thing too, who knows. But I think there are some take-homes that can help us, like, live this out sometimes. If you have your half sheet, there are a few fill-in-the-blanks. The first one is be open to how God might be using what's happening in your life. So I knew I wanted out of TV news, but I had no idea where I was going. And hindsight is always 20/20. It was so good for me to stay for a while because I was getting so much good stuff. And if I had left too soon, then I'd have to find other places to learn that stuff, or I wouldn't have been ready for the other things that God was bringing me to. And maybe number two is too much of anything is not usually helpful. So too much sympathy kept me stuck, and too much advice just pushed me down and confused me. Healthy doses of each from people in my life who knew me really well was really helpful. I think there's like a time for each of these things. Number three, be cautious giving and receiving advice. Try filtering it through God and His word first. So I like to give advice. I think maybe sometimes I think I might have the answer to solve your problems. I probably don't, but I want to rescue you from where you're at. I don't want you to be hurting. I don't want you to be scared, and I want to fix things for you, so I want to offer advice. But my advice probably isn't going to solve your problems, and it might hurt you, and I certainly don't want to do that, because then you can feel judged, or I can... That's how I feel. Like, when people offer me advice that's, like, just not fitting, I can feel, like, judged, and that's really uncomfortable. So it doesn't seem to be helpful. Number four, take a step back and look at the big picture and ask God what He's up to. There's this verse that's commonly used in these terms, and I think it's really encouraging and helpful, especially when I'm caught up in these circumstances. I'm not always ready to hear it, and I can't always see what's happening, but it can be comforting. It says, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." Sometimes I think we go to this verse, or I do, and I think, oh, everything in my life should be good. But that doesn't always happen. I think God wants me to have a hope that He has good for me. So even when things don't go well or look like what I want, I have the hope that He's going to bring me out of this, that He's using this for something, to prepare me for something, to show me something. And my hope is that maybe this is just a season, a time for now, but I won't stay there. I might go back there, but I won't stay there. I want to end with this psalm. After looking through these things this week and taking the time to write this, I was just overwhelmed with thankfulness. Like, wow, God, You've moved me from so many things. So the things I'm going through right now, I can have a lighter perspective on, and I can see and take the time to step back. It's from going through that tough stuff that makes the next tough stuff a little bit more bearable each time. You thrill me, Lord, with all You have done for me. I sing for You because of what You have done. So I thought maybe this morning we could try this. I thought maybe we could take the time to ask God what it is that we really want that we can't seem to figure out how to get, and see if He has something to say to us in it. If you guys want to stand up with me. So if you guys are up for it, let's just maybe take a moment to ask God and see if He has anything to say. And ask God if He has any direction for us. So Holy Spirit, come. We invite You here, and we invite You into this space. And we ask You just for clarity in what You're stirring up for us and what You're doing in the very spot we're at. And I pray the things that You have brought up for each one of us, that You would guide us through to the good You have in that, and guide us through towards the next steps, and bring us into relationship with You and with the people that will help us bring us through. And God, I thank You that You're paying attention, that You want to know, and that You want to prepare us for things. I thank You, God, that You want to be involved in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.